I just realized the first time I came to Chitungwiza was
2005.
That makes it how many years now? That should be 20, right?
20.
On this same pulpit. So we are thankful to have ministries in our midst which have been a great encouragement to us. Amen. Yeah, so I want us to read from Psalm 77, verse
19.
Psalm 77, verse 19 to
20.
Okay, so I take a service like a Sunday school, so I want us to read together. So I'll request the IT team to just put that scripture for us on the screen. Psalm 77, verse 19 to 20. Shall we all read together? Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses.
Kufamba kwenyu kukanga kuri mugungwani, nzira dzenyu mumvura zhinji zhinji, makwara enyu akanga asingazikanwi. Makafambisa vanhu venyu seboka ramakwai noruoko rwaMozisi norwaAaron.
Shall we bow our heads, we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your care for us. All through these years, you fed us by your word and it has kept us going. And we don't take that for granted. We thank you for the wonderful ministration, insights, and revelation that came through our brother, Brother Martin Wanjala. We so appreciate that, Lord. And as we continue, we invite you once again that you take over, that our thoughts and ideas may step aside, and that you, Lord, may speak to our hearts. For that which you speak, Lord, stays. That which is an idea of man, it crumbles and is blown away. So we desire, it is our prayer, that, Lord, you help us this afternoon. And our desire is to draw closer to you, that we can be better than we were yesterday. So, Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and in all areas where we fall short of what you desire of us. As we look into your word, oh God, may we be like little children who are willing to walk in the footsteps of the Lord. So bless us now as we open the scriptures. And Lord, help me, give me strength and insight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saint. We want to speak on footprints in the sea. Now you notice, look at Psalm 77, verse 19. Just look at it a little bit more closely. Altogether, shall we read? Thy
is in the sea.
And thy
footsteps.
Now that's a very strange group of words. This is Asaph. He was a man called Asaph. He was a musician in Israel.
Asaph.
He wasn't just a musician. The Bible says he was a seer. And he spoke and wrote these words. And they were not just words, but they were inspired by God. And in speaking these words, he says, "Thy way," that is the way of the Lord. He says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." May we speak those last words together? Thy footsteps are not known. Can we speak that? Let's say it again. Now that is fundamentally different from the way of man. The way of man is printed in the sand of the soil. The way of man Let's put it this way. When man walks, he walks on soil. And his footprints are printed in the soil. And when we lose the way, we can study the footsteps and see the path they're making. And through one civilization to another, man has learned the art of preserving the footsteps left by great men in history. So that today we have the way of science, we have the way of philosophy, we also have the way of theology. You know, in science, you don't just do things anyhow. We have one great doctor in Zambia. He believes he found the cure for HIV. So he has tried to submit his proposals, but it has never gone through for recognition in the world of science. Because in this field, in the world of science, when you say, "I've discovered something," whatever you discover will be subjected to rigorous tests. And if it is proved that your formula is correct, it will be documented. It will go in the universities. One generation unto another generation, they will study the same formula and it will produce the same result. So in the way of man, you can preserve the footsteps so that everyone else can study the formula. The great scientist Isaac Newton said, "If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants." He acknowledges that whatever I have discovered, it is because certain men left their formulas and I made use of them. And you know what? You may not like Isaac Newton,
Zini Isaac Newton.
But use his method, it will produce results. Why? His formula is cast in stone. You just need to follow the principles. So the way of man is replicable. You can cast it in stone. It's the same way with the way of philosophy. This world has had great philosophers in Aristotle, in Socrates. Our young people today, when they go in university, they still need to read Aristotle. Because these men came up with methods which need to be observed and studied. So you don't just wake up and say, I have a philosophy. They'll take it and subject it to arguments. Now, that's the way of man. But here, Asaph, by the Spirit of God, he says something very strange. He says, the way of the Lord is not in sand. Let us read it again. Thy way is in the sea. Now, if I stepped on the river and I made a few five steps, tell me if you'll be able to observe my footsteps. Are you able to do that? So, thy way, let's say it again, thy way is in the
sea,
and thy path in the and thy footsteps are not known. That's very different sense. I'll tell you one man who tried to follow those footsteps. The man was Peter. He saw the Lord walking on the sea. Let us read about that interesting account. In Matthew 14, verse
22.
In Matthew 14, verse 22 to 29.
Matthew 14.
We read about Jesus walking on the water. And all of them were afraid when they saw Jesus doing that. Why were they afraid? Because that was an unusual thing they saw. That was not a path on sand or on the rock. It was a strange thing to human experience. And in verse 26 we read, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea. Now remember, the psalmist said, thy way is in the sea. And here the disciples saw him walking where? On the sea. Now, look. If you see Isaac Newton is walking in the sand, if you want to be an Isaac Newton, you just need to use your initiative and follow those footsteps. And one day they'll confer you with a PhD. But this is strange. Peter was wise enough not trying to copy and paste what he was saying. You can copy and paste the way of Isaac Newton. You can copy and paste the way of theology. You can copy and paste the way of Galileo. All you need is use the same formula, fit it the values, it will give you the same result. If your child says, I want to be an engineer, there is a method for that. There is a college for that. If he meets minimum specifications as per school qualifications, feed him to a university. And it will produce an engineer. But Peter was wise. He saw Jesus walking on the sea. But he was wise. He knew this is not sand. This is not a rock. He looked with his eyes. He can't see the footsteps on the sea. So listen to what he said. Ask Jesus. Verse 27, but straight away Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, let us all read that together. You know, this was a very wise response from Peter. Let us read verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Peter was a fully grown up man. He knew heavy things don't float on water. But he said, speak the word, Lord. Because he knew to walk on the water, you need to stand on the revealed word of Jesus. So,
Zeno,
you don't just see Jesus make footsteps. Because if you look by sight, you can't see his footsteps. It's a walk by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't walk by sight, we walk by
faith.
So Peter was wise. And he saw Jesus walking. And he looked at Jesus. He said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come. And the word went forth. And so Peter stood on that word. It wasn't trying out things.
Amen.
You know, there's a Pentecostal version of faith. It's a few faiths. It's a faith of, if Jesus did it, I can do it. But that's not exactly the faith of the Son of God. And Peter was wise. He said, no, speak. And then when he heard the word, he took the weight of his body and threw it on the sea. And he was able to make those steps. But one angle away from looking from Jesus, Peter sank. You know, he looked at the wind, he looked at the troubles. In his mind, he thought, it is me doing this. In that moment, the next step was out of the word and he sank. So it's not exactly replicable by studying and observing. It's a constant resting on the revealed word of God. There's another one who tried it, and his end was not so good. Pharaoh. You know, let us go to Exodus, chapter 14.
Chapter 14.
God said something to the children of Israel. The last 20 years I was here, I preached a long sermon. But hanging around old men, I've learned to minister short sermons. Exodus 14, verse 22.
Exodus 14, verse 22.
Let's see another walk in the sea. Shall we read? And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea. Now, hold there. Hold there. That already is strange. How do people walk in the midst of the sea? These are miracles we're reading. Again, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Read that, my brother.
Mvura ikaita madziro kurudyi kwavo nokuruboshwe rao kwavo vaijipita vakatevera vakapinda shure kwavo mukati megungwa namabhiza avo ose.
So you see, the Egyptians were at a distance. They were looking, they were observing. For sure, it was a strange thing they were looking at. Oh, they marveled. They could see the walls of the waters parting. They looked at that. The children of Israel had hands like them, had legs like them. They asked each other, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Yes, I'm seeing it. Hey, this is a miracle. You know what? If they can do it, we can did it also. You know, that is how motivational people say. Yeah? If they did it, we can did it. Yeah. So that's the way of the world. You can copy, you can test, you can. But it doesn't exactly work like that. So they motivated themselves to do what the Israelites were doing. And we know how tragic the story ended. Those waters, those walls just closed up and destroyed the Egyptians. How can it be? You know, this testimony occurred on the Red Sea. Today, if you have enough money, we can book our flights, we can go to Israel. To the Middle East where Egypt is. To this day, you can get your atlas and you will see the Red Sea there. But I can assure you of one thing. We can try from morning to evening to see which path exactly did the Israelites take. We won't map out their footsteps. It was a walk in the sea. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, today, a lot of Christian tourists, they go to Israel, and one of the tourists is Brother Matimbe. Yeah. I love his testimony. When he went to Israel, he went in the tomb where Jesus was. Yeah, but what I'm about to speak next is not about Brother Matimbe. So, They go to walk, they say, I've walked where Jesus walked. They'll go to sites where miracles happened. And there are many testimonies people talk about. And most of these testimonies come from Catholic. In Israel, there is, I don't know exactly whether it is in Israel, but in that Middle Eastern region, there is a place which is believed that when Mary and Joseph were running away from Herod, they went to hide in this cave, and there was some drops of milk which came from the breast of Mary. It dropped on the ground in that cave, and so then the cave or the walls became white. To this day, a lot of Catholic devotees, they go there to visit that cave, and it is still white with the milk of Mary. And people come out to say, you know, they experience the healing, they experience blessings. But hear me. The footsteps of the Lord are on the sea.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
For you to see them, for you to experience them, you need the eyes of God to see those footsteps. You need the substance of the Holy Spirit in you. Then you will experience that touch of the Holy Spirit. When Moses came to the Red Sea, let's look at another vision of Moses. Moses, the theologian.
Moses,
the bishop.
Moses,
who graduated with honors degree. He will stand before that Red Sea, and he will say, we need to do exactly what the scripture says here. He will go to the method of Noah. When Noah was encountered with a flood, what did he do? He had a dream. He was given measurements to make a boat. So I can see Bishop Moses hiring a team of carpenters. He wants to work exactly the way Noah did, to make another boat to cross the Red Sea. But that's not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is on the sea. The principles of the way are the same. The truthfulness of the way is the same. But you every time need fresh instructions in the Spirit. So, if the way of the Lord was like the way of science, it will be a method cast in stone. But no, Asaph says the footsteps of the Lord shall not be known. You have to be in the Spirit to see his footsteps. And so Moses had to rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that even when God tells you to do something, pray for the sick, preach the word, you can never effectively carry out his instruction by simply copying and pasting an instruction? We were chatting with Brother Isaiah yesterday, and this came up. Let's read Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 1.
Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 1.
I want us to hear what God spoke to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2 verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I'll speak unto thee. Now, when you are told stand upon thy feet, what are you supposed to do? You have to stand upon your feet.
That's right.
But now, look at verse 2. Let us all read.
Yes.
And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. Did you hear that?
Hallelujah!
God tells him, stand upon thy feet. But it took the same Spirit of God to enter him and make him stand on the feet. You can never obey the word of God but by the Spirit.
Yes.
I can guarantee you, if you walk about on Sunday, you see Jehovah Witnesses crisscrossing roads with their books. What are they doing? Witnessing. Why are they doing that? Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. When you look at it, it looks like they are exactly fulfilling the Great Commission. When God looks at it, what they are doing is not different than a person who is in the gym running on that thing. You've seen people go to the gym. You know, when you go to the gym, if you don't have space to run or to walk about, you run on that machine. By the time you are done, your heart is pumping better. Your muscles are healthier. So that's a good exercise as those witnesses are doing. Anything void of the Spirit of God is nothing. So God says, stand up, Ezekiel. But yet the Spirit of God entered in Ezekiel to make him fulfill that command. If there is a great need of the church today, we need to hear God again. We need to be filled with his power again. To be able to fulfill his instructions. You know, one day the seven sons of Sceva, they saw an anointed ministry. They saw Paul. Every time he said, in the name of Jesus, the demons come out. Hey, they could see things were happening. So they put up their deliverance ministry. Did a few adverts. And people were coming for prayer until they had a real case. You know, there is drama and there is a real case. And when you have a real case, those devils know whether really you are with Jesus or you are just doing some gymnastics. So they say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They really wanted to be in the message by mentioning the name of the messenger. Because, you know, some people feel you are not exactly right until you say, Brother Branham said. So they were really saying what the text says. They said, we cast you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. You you really think the devil fears the name of Paul? Hear me. The devil no more fears the name of Paul than he does Brother Branham. Oh, brother. Peter, you're not respecting the prophet. I'll make it worse for you. Let me make it worse for you. Even the name Jesus, it's not its sounding or its pronunciation that is scared. That's not it.
Hallelujah.
When we were in the Pentecostal, we used to be in what was known as the deliverance ministry. And would read testimonies of people who were in the satanic world and they became Christians. And those books intrigued us. One of the books I read was one by Pastor Imakanda from DRC. And there are very interesting testimonies in there. One of them, the testimony said, when he was a Satanist, the devil sent him to go and attack a certain group of Christians, a pastor.
So,
he says, when I reached that home, I found them speaking the name Jesus. And oh, I couldn't attack them. Then he says, then I went back now seeing Lucifer. I was giving him a report. And he said, I went to a certain place. And I found them mentioning a name. That name caused me to fail my assignment. And he said, oh Lucifer, they were mentioning the name Jesus. And according to that testimony, when the name Jesus was mentioned, Lucifer fell from his throne and there was confusion and they said, never mention that name here again. But when I read in the scripture, even a junior devil is not afraid to mention the name Jesus. The sons of Sceva, they know a correct version of the story. Because that devil said, Jesus, I know. They were able to say Jesus. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But gentlemen, who are you? Because you see, when you say in the name of Jesus, you are saying, I've been sent of the Lord. I am doing this, the Lord authorizing me. So when you say in the name of Jesus, come out. The devil sniffs, he smells. Says, no, there's no Jesus here.
Amen.
You are all alone. You are not coming here in the name of the Lord. So he says, Jesus, I know. The Jesus you keep mentioning, I know him. Even the Paul you are quoting, I know him. But the problem I have with you, gentlemen, I do not know you. And the Bible says they were so beaten, their clothes torn, and they ran out of that place naked. It was very shameful. Here's our question. Did those young men have the right motivation? They wanted to duplicate what they saw in Paul. They tried to use the way of science on the sea. It didn't work. They used the correct formula, one would say. But you see, the name of Jesus is not a charm. Then when you say Jesus, then oh, the charm has been mentioned, so all the witches would take flight in every direction. It has to be the presence of the Lord in our lives.
Amen.
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 And that's the biggest challenge we have today. The way of the Lord is on the sea. Look at our elderly people in this audience. How did they come to the message? Many times, it was through a conviction. The conviction produced a holy zeal. A desire to yield and surrender to God. But you know, with time, children are born in our hearts. They see what father do, and somehow they think they are also believers. So what does that produce? It has filled our fellowships with a lot of young people who can sing only believe, can play the instrument, but the conviction of the message is not there. So what has that resulted into? A generational gap and conflict. You look at the old women, they have good natural hair, good long dresses. But young people are in a struggle. They go to the workplace, they see a different version of it. And I remember Pastor Veremu, when we were in Kenya, he mentioned a statement. He said, give this message 50 years and sisters will be preaching in the pulpit. Where is the condition coming from? The touch of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You see, when you try to walk on the sea with your feet, without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, your legs will wobble. Ezekiel, God told him, stand. If he did that with his own motivation, he would never have stood. His legs would have wobbled and he would be on the ground again. But the Spirit was in him and he was able to stand. The message has come. Come out of her, my people. Back to the word. Back to Pentecost. That's a true instruction. But we need the infilling of the Spirit of God. We need the revelation that comes with that instruction. Then the same word, the same power shall give us strength to be able to stand. For 30 years, 40 years, you will see, you will still hear testimonies from this. You ask these great men of God, you still hear the same testimony. They've been in the word for 40 years. 30 years. What causes that? They tested of something. You know, Jesus taught that woman, if you drink of the waters I give, you won't thirst. But what will make a young man try to look like he's in the message, another day he backslides. Goes into the world. You haven't yet tested of those waters. If you test them, there is no drink of the world that can satisfy you. You will be able to walk in that way. Why? You've tested something higher. You know what happens when you test something which is too sweet? Let's say you eat a very sweet cake. If you try to eat something like bread, or even if it is sweeter, when you drink something too sweet, the other thing, the test becomes very dull. And the word of God is as sweet as honey. When we test of it, it will leave a permanent impact on your life. Let me conclude. Like I taught you, I've learned from old men and my sermons have become shorter. Let me conclude with this testimony of Brother Branham. You know, one day Brother Branham visited a farmer or something like that. And Brother Branham noticed a tree.
Brother Branham
I can't remember what the actual fruit was. I'll just use another name for illustration. Yeah, an apple tree. But he observed it had different branches and they were producing different fruits. Yeah. The one branch had grapes. Another branch has a mango. Another branch has a lemon. So Brother Branham was confused. He said, how is this possible?
What is Noitika say?
That out of one trunk, there's a grape, there's a lemon, there's... And the man said, no. These different fruits you see were grafted. So they are just feeding off the life which is in the main trunk. So wherever they were taken from, they are feeding off the real life. So let me read what he says. Satan infiltrated the church and used his influence to graft other branches into the trunk. Did you hear that? Satan took this fruits from wherever they were, grafted them, and eventually these branches assumed names like Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and others. They bore lemons, grapefruits, and whatever. You see, it uses the name of Christianity and it thrives off the life in the parent tree. But it bears its own denominational fruit. And we can see that today. A lot of charity organizations They help the poor. You can see a lot of people in evangelism programs trying to encourage. These things are coming from the scriptures. They're trying to feed off the system using principles of scripture. But they are not exactly the tree. And now here it is. You know, as Brother Branham preached and ministered, and some preachers disagreed with him even in that service, one reverend tried to tell him to say, but Brother Branham, doesn't the scripture say we were grafted in? And then Brother Branham says, he says, but an olive tree is an olive. So that's not what I'm talking about. You know, the scripture talks about we are like a wild olive which was grafted in the olive. He says, God still wants oranges growing on an orange tree. Not lemons, limes, or grapefruits. I am speaking to you in a parable. And so you can see some people didn't take that very well. Because it was a businessman's fellowship, you know, meeting, and there were different people of different denominations. But then, as Brother Branham was moving from the pulpit, someone prophesied. You know, and this was the interpretation of the tongue. It was actually spoken in French. He says, because this was God's word to Brother Branham. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way, which thou hast walked of thy own choosing, thou hast picked the correct and precise decision. Now listen to this. And it is my way.
Yes.
Can you see that? Brother Branham made the correct decision. Chose the way. And it was the way of the Lord. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee.
Amen.
What a glorious decision thou hast made. This in itself is that which will give and make come to pass the tremendous victory in love divine. Observe carefully the words in that. He made a certain decision, and there's a reward for him in that decision. What is this reward based on? Walking in the way of the Lord. You see that? The way of the Lord. And where is that way? It's on the sea. How shall we see it? We need eyes of to see footprints of the Lord on the sea. God sent a great prophet. Brought such a great message. How shall we walk in the way he guided us through? It has to be by the Spirit which guided him. Which led him. We are all here because we are waiting for the rapture. What is this rapture? We did come because we are just reading spoken word books.
They are
very important. But we need to know that rapture will not be a scientific event. You know, a scientific event, you can replicate the method and it will produce the same result. Rapture won't be a philosophical event where we try to see what is this mystery and do not even think thunders are coming with a hard complicated formula we need to learn. The rapture won't be a philosophical event. That is why the prophet warned us don't make an ism out of it. The rapture won't be a theological event. The rapture will be a love attraction.
Amen.
Rapture will be what? A love attraction.
Amen.
You know, 20 years ago when I was here, I was single. Now I'm married. Before I got married, Nora was just a fiancée.
Nora akanganga romuskana.
And I had a desire that we be together. So the few moments we were together, we would chat and talk. And the wedding date seemed very far. And when it was a few weeks down to the wedding, we kept telling each other, countdown.
We'll
tell each other, how many days remaining? I could hardly wait just for us to be together. Do you realize the scripture says, to them who wait, those who desire his appearing, he's coming for his people. Jesus is the groom. There will be an element of people in this world. They will be so shut in with Jesus that they desire to be where he is. Until things of the world will be so irritating to them. They will desire to be one with the Lord. Until the world will become too filthy for them. And when the Lord will look, he whisk away his wife, away from the filth of the
world.
So it can never be that you get raptured and you had no desire to have a walk with
the Lord.
There has to be that love attraction whilst you are here. And you can never pretend love. You can never try to educate yourself into loving someone. Love is an occurrence. Love is real. You have to experience it. So you can't say, oh, we are talking about love. Lord, I love you. No, we need to be sincere. If you realize I need God to help me, pour out your heart to God. If there's a habit you're struggling with, the arms of the Lord are open to help you out of that. But you need to be sincere. Don't just try to conform. We need to have a desire for God to work on us. Shall we stand? We shall bow our heads. You can imagine the great God who created the heavens and the earth. He can choose to reveal himself to you, or he can hide himself from you. It really depends on the attitude of your heart. And he loves us so much that he has given us this opportunity to come together. And he sends his word not to be in vain, but to fulfill a certain purpose. If you are here, and you know you are in need, you know you are like on the midst of the sea and you don't know the way of the Lord. You can't figure it out on your own. Number one, you need to realize you need help. And your heart needs to be broken, and you ask the Lord, Lord, help me. And he's more than willing to show you that way. If you have a need this afternoon, and the Lord has spoken to your heart, you just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Our gracious Heavenly Father,
hallelujah.
Only you can show us thy footsteps on the sea. Man has tried to craft all the different paths crisscrossing this world and teaching us what could help us. But even the greatest men who've ever lived in the way of science, philosophy, and theology, they couldn't work it out. But yet, Lord, you are God who is so gracious.
Amen.
That when you see a broken and a contrite heart,
amen,
you are able to heal it.
Hallelujah.
We read of Paul. He thought he had found that way. He was even persecuting others. But it only took one day, Lord, as he was on the way to Damascus. It took one moment. And that light flashed over him. And those scales which hinder us from seeing that way on the sea, they came off his eyes. And that was the turning point, not just of one man, but of history. And today, we've been able to hear your word.
Hallelujah.
Because that way on the sea was revealed to that man.
Amen.
And it happened to be so opposite to the path he was taking himself into. Lord, we can never see that way until you open our eyes, and then we'll be able to see. We'll be able to see the revelation of your word. There are many needs, Lord, in this audience, and our hands are raised to you.
Amen.
Because, Lord, we are in need of your help.
Amen.
We need that precious Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, even to give us boldness. Grant it, Heavenly Father, that someone shall have a testimony this moment. In Jesus' name we pray, with thanks in our hearts.
Amen.
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 Let's give the Lord a mighty hand.
It emanates from truth. Amen. Now, if we hear from truth, we will desire that truth. The manifestation of the truth in us, because we have heard from truth. Amen. You may be seated. We thank the Lord for such an inspiration, a continuation of what we were getting in the morning. Amen. You know, when the Lord said His word, He is the one who fulfilled it. When He said, throw the net on this side, according to normal experience, there were no fish there. But because it's the Lord who said it, and Peter did it, not because just he wanted fish, but because the Lord had told him that. The Lord who spoke the word created the fish to enter the net to confirm His word that it is truth. And the result was fish, which were tangible, that He could touch the fish, because it was the word of the Lord. Amen. So here we see again, is the way in the water. Amen. Amen. Which you cannot walk because you've just seen the Lord walking there. Because it leaves no footprints that you can follow. But if the Lord anoints you to walk, you will walk exactly there to achieve the purpose of the Lord. And there's one thing I've just learned this afternoon. There's no repetition with God. God does not repeat. Yes, the Lord Jesus said, you do more works than this. But whatever the believer does, it's not a repetition of what Jesus did. It is an entirety in itself. It's something that it just happened there. Can you see that? It's not a repetition. You know what? I'm the fifth born of my mother. When the firstborn was born, she was born. Can you see that? And when I was born, I was not a repetition of the firstborn. It was my own experience. Can you see that? And if you would follow us, all the children of my mother, yes, we talk of 9 months in the womb. But it's not 9 months to the dot like that, you know. Can you see that? The firstborn was born. Maybe she was 30 weeks, 42 weeks, or whatever.
She died 42 weeks.
When I came, I had my own time. Can you see that? So is it, you know, with these things of God. That's why when Ezekiel was told, stand on your feet, it was not a repetition of what Job was told. Yes, Job was told, bind your waist, I want to talk with you. So with Ezekiel, he never said, okay, Job once did it, so I can also do it. But the Spirit of God came upon him. Because there was a specific thing God wanted with Ezekiel.
Amen.
Amen. You know, that's why John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. First, he had to be in that Spirit. And it had to be the Lord's day. So that the Lord's way can be in you. Amen.
Amen.
I just liked the way he said, you know, when Moses came to the Red Sea, he never said, okay, let's go back to the scripture. What does it say? It says, no, when there's this problem of water, we need the ark. He had to get specific directions from the Lord. You know, then I just went a bit further. Joshua, when Moses was dead, God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. As I was. Which means it's a historical aspect. I was with Moses. So it looks like Joshua. All he needed was just to look at how God dealt with
Moses.
When the Amalekites came to fight, what did Moses do? Do it according to the court then. Can you see? Because God had told him, as I was with Moses. If I tell my child what I did to your brother, I'll do it to you. And I buy his brother a car, what does he expect? Because that's what I did there. So God tells Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And then Joshua comes to Jordan. It was as full as the Red Sea. So he stands there. What am I going to do? God told me,
as he was with Moses,
what did he do with Moses? He says, bring Aaron and you lift up the stick. All Joshua had to do, Joshua just looked into the court. And then just invite Phineas, because Aaron was dead by then. We know what God did at Red Sea. Phineas, bring the rod. It wouldn't have worked. But God said, as I was with Moses. Can you see? It's not a repetition. It's an experience. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we just thank the Lord. The Lord has got something for us. Amen. That we may come to that. To the truth of the truth. Amen. The confirmation of God Himself. So we thank the Lord for receiving that in our lives. Because there's one thing that can mold us into that rapture. It is the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. You know, I liked it when he said, you know, the underworld people or the underworld spirits are afraid of the name Jesus. I think you can bear with me. I never believed and accepted this Satanism theory. I don't care, maybe it's there. But I never accepted it and I never believed
it.
Because it was right here in Chitungwiza, where a Satanist was in the combi. He was a man here, but here is a, it was a skeleton. So he was in the combi. He wanted to make the combi overturn. Then one Matsbaba is the one who prayed and rebuked this spirit. Of all the things, Matsbaba. You know, I don't believe in those things. For your own information, when I was in Zambia one time, I met a Satanist who was in prison. I and Brother Mawino went to visit him. He had no toes, he had cut off his toes as a sacrifice to Satan. And he had this testimony that we of the Satanist movement, we can overcome all other people in whatever religion they are. But these people in the message who were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's impossible for us to touch them. Ananias and Sapphira were baptized in the name of Jesus. Simon the sorcerer was baptized in the name of Jesus. Not by us who just heard about the message. By somebody who walked with Jesus. Philip himself baptized Simon the sorcerer. What was the end of him? Then there was this minister from Zaire, from DRC Congo. He says there was this woman who is a believer. And because she was selling things, and the other woman next to her selling her things also. This one, you would order things, they get finished, order, finish, order, finish. While hands are still there. And then she said, what makes your things go so fast? She said, there's power somewhere in the underworld. If you want, we can go together. So, they made an arrangement. How do we get there? She brought an egg. And that egg changed to a car. Into a car. Get into the car. And then go to the underworld. When they were there, this woman was held there. This believer in the message was held down there. This one came back. So she had to tell the husband, I went with your wife in the underworld. She was held there. Why? Because these people who believe this message, they are too strong for us. Yet they held her. So the husband had to go into the egg again. And this husband was a soldier. So he took his gun, went into the underworld. When he got there, he could not use his gun. And then those people underworld, they said, we are very much afraid of these people who are in the message of this William Branham. We cannot handle them. But you know, I've been too long in this message. I know of pastors who impregnated the sisters in the church.
Yeah.
In the church of the message. I know pastors who are having dirty deals in the message. So, why are they doing it? How are they able to do it? Is the message so sacred and so protective? That's not it, my brothers. Let's have the experience with God.
Amen.
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 Then we'll have the truth. Amen. I've seen too much rot in the message that I cannot be fooled by that. Amen. Amen. Like what we are going through now. You know it there? In the name of the message. But thank God that God so loves us, that He brings such in our midst, so that we may not try to repeat or to, what do you call it, cut and paste, copy and paste. We need to be born again.
Amen.
We need to be in the Lord, that the things of the Lord can be in us. Amen. Can you see? Amen. When the Lord appeared to Paul, and Paul saw the light, what did he say? Who art thou, Lord? Because he had seen the light, he wanted to see the Lord. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Amen. John on the Isle of Patmos, sort of same experience, he heard a voice behind him. He never said, okay, Paul went through this, so I better ask, who art thou, Lord? He turned not to see the Lord, but to see the voice. It's his own experience. It's not a duplication of Paul. But what the experience of Paul, what did it produce? It produced the Bible. The New Testament was written by Paul. From that experience. Can you see that? But the same God, wanting to talk to John, he doesn't duplicate what Paul did. It's entirely to him. When he turned to see, he wanted to see not the man, not the owner of the voice, but he wanted to see the voice. Amen. Why did he desire that? Remember, the scripture says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Why was he there? You see, we are all here. We've come to church,
eh?
Is that right?
Yes.
But I want to tell you something. We were not motivated by the same thing. We are not here by the same motivation. Can you see? After they had eaten bread and fish in the wilderness, the next day, what did they do? They all came looking for him. What were they looking for? Jesus. Why? They'd experienced that miracle. Can you see? But when Jesus confronted them, he said, you are not seeking me because you saw the sign, but you ate bread. Peter, will you go?
Peter
says, I won't go. You have the word of eternal life. So Peter was seeking Jesus because he had the word of eternal life. The others were seeking Jesus. The same Jesus. Because they'd eaten bread. You see? So, it's different. But as we saw from the morning, let's just commit ourselves to Him. Forget yourself. Forget your experience. Forget what you know. Just be steady and listen. What is He going to say to me? Is he going to say, throw the net? Or is He saying, go and throw the hook? He's the same one. Same Peter. But he's told at different times to do different things. Amen.
Amen.
David went after the Philistines one time. And the Lord tells him, do this and that, you will overcome. The next time, the Philistines come again, he doesn't say, okay, I know what the Lord does. He goes back to the Lord. What am I going to do? The Lord says, just stand still. When you see the top of the mulberry tree moving, then you know the Spirit of the Lord is going ahead of you. Then you go and you overcome. That personal experience. For every occasion in your life, you need a fresh experience. You see, that's what makes us walk with God. You see that? Because the devil knows what the Lord has done with you. You see? He knows. The devil knew what, why Eve was created. He knows. That's why he could come to Eve. Did the Lord God say? Can you see that? He knew. So Satan knows what God did for you yesterday. And he can come and impersonate that to the dot until you are deceived. You see, we need that experience, that person, that everyday contact with God. You see, because the devil can impersonate. But God does not repeat things. Amen.
Amen.
He is God. He doesn't learn. He doesn't have to do something because he did it yesterday. You know, from here I want to go to my house. I know how I should walk. Because I know how I walk to come here. I just use that experience. But God doesn't do that. When He walks with you today, it's a day. Can you see that?
Yeah.
That's why the scripture says, He set another day, which is called today.
Yeah.
Not yesterday, not tomorrow. And when that day comes, hearken unto His voice. When what day comes? Today. So we have got something from the Lord today, for today.
Amen.
Even as He gave manna in the wilderness, manna was not for storage. It was to be eaten that day. Amen. Tomorrow, more manna. Tomorrow, more manna. That's our God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We just thank God that He has so anointed these servants. Amen. You know, somebody from Kenya, he brings in a thought, and this our brother from Zambia comes with the same thought, but it's not the same. Can you see? But it's the same thing. But it's not the same. That's our God. So we are expecting more again. So let's come again. We will have another service. I think after we've taken food, so after we take our food, we come for more. Not the same, but more from the Lord. The way the Lord wants to do it, we don't know. There was somebody born blind until he was now a young man. Until he got to be a young man. And the Lord said, it happened to him so that the works of the Lord may be made known. Just imagine, from birth, you could not see. When other boys went to play football, you could not play. When they went swimming, you could not go with them. When they went climbing trees, you could not go with them. Why? Because just on that day, God wanted to show forth His power. But how many years did it take? Many years. The same. Now when we come to Lazarus, he was dead for 4 days. And then Jesus came. He says, I'm glad that it happened while I was not here, so that the Lord can confirm His word. Just after 4 days, they cried just for 4 days, and the mighty hand of the Lord was shown. 4 days only. But with this man, it was years. Just think of the mother when she gave birth to a blind boy. How many tears she shed. When she could see other children playing and hers could not go and play, she'll go inside and cry. All that trouble. Then you think, oh, I'm going through much trouble. Yes. That's our God. He's got something special for you. Just for you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
So we thank God. The Lord is so gracious.
Amen.
Sure, sure.
Amen.
So shall we just stand, and Brother Shiroro, can you just close with a prayer?
Ishe, magum sura kudenda kutenda, magatendeka kupinda iswanu na kushika pa kutumare, nguwa yose ya tinofama, tichifunga kutitashika panishina na chaisha mnoda. Munoti jekesera zvizere mwari kuti zviro kwazvo nepfungwa yakanaka uyezve mwari munotiratidza pachena ishe kuti kuungana kwedu mwari hatina kuunganira pasina mwari matiratidza pachena zviro kwazvo kuti zvinotora mweya wenyu mwari kuti tiite kuda kwenyu ndosaka shoko renyu zvichitaura kuti it's not by works Lord, there's nothing that we can point o Father that it is why we have reached so far. But it takes the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
That Lord, you will be doing it, O Father, in us. Mwari wangu baba tinokutendai kudzwai baba naizvozvo murondidzo baba nokusinga pepe ishe baba kuungana kwose baba kwatiri kuita tichienderera mberi ishe makatendeka Mwari ilai pakati penu.
Sure.
Seja matiratiza Mwari. Tiriza pupu. Nasi Mwari. Kuti zviro kwazvo zviro pazvare ari kutongwa Mwari. Ishe. Hatigoni kumira mberi kwenyu tichitakanga tisingazivi. Nekuti nemiwo muchatitaura kuti kosei makanga musingazivi. Ini ndakataura pakati penyu. Kudzwai Mwari nekusingaperi. Amen.
Now the one who is to make the next announcement is not in. Nevertheless, we hear when we get out. So we ask the song leader to lead us in a song as we go out. And then we hear from them what we are to do next.
So it's only after 4.
Maybe in an hour's time will be over and then we can come back and
service.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Song leader, you can lead us.
I believe God.
Yeah.
I believe God. He shall be done. Oh, in the name of the Savior, trust in the bed.
Thank you.
Oh, no.